Hare Krishna. Who am I starting today? Oh, yes. I'm starting today first with a poll. And I'm going to ask everybody to please give me an answer to this poll, which I'm going to put up on the screen. Hopefully, now it will manifest. If you could please answer that poll for me. As soon as I'm going to launch it now. Are you getting it? So we got 36 answers so far. 37, 38, 41. We're coming in. All right. I'll leave it on for a minute, another minute, and I'll start speaking. For most of you, you're probably not aware, or if even if you are aware, you don't probably do not know Nittai Chaitanya Goswami. But unfortunately, he departed a few days ago, and it was quite unexpected, because although he was battling COVID 19, the day before he departed, I received a message because I was getting regularly updated that he was probably going to be discharged from the hospital on Wednesday. And not because he had fully recovered, but they considered him to have recovered enough to continue his treatment at home as the doctors had presented it. And then the day before he was supposed to be discharged, some emergency came up, and the hospital where he was not equipped to deal with it. They transferred him to another hospital. And the doctors, knowing him at the first hospital where he had previously come, understood that he was not an ordinary person. They could see from the devotees who were associating and coming and speaking to them that and they could tell from his mannerisms and his dealings with them that he was a special person. And they actually went out of their way many times to accommodate his personal needs. To see that kirtan was going on continuously in his room, and that was before he had left to go to the other hospital for emergency surgery. But then, when he was sent back to that original hospital, they tried for 3 hours. They worked very hard to try to save him, as I was told, and then they were unsuccessful. And he departed. I don't know. I had something to do with blood was not getting to his stomach. And I don't know the name of the disease. Anyways, we lost him. And for many devotees, it was a shock. Tomorrow, we're going to be holding, in fact, today in Russia, they're holding a memorial service online for him in Russian. And tomorrow, I'm going to be holding a memorial service online for devotees. There'll be several devotees speaking tomorrow, but it's not a very good time for North America. It's our usual time. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, India time. And Bhaktivedanta Goswami will be speaking, and Achyuta Priya will be speaking, and Sridham Prabhu will be speaking, and I will be speaking, Raj Kumar will be speaking. Sankarshan Natai will be speaking because he lived with in Sankarshanathai's home for 7 years, and he knows him quite well. And other devotees have written in and requested to speak. Devamrita Maharaj wanted to take part, but it's the same time as an outreach program that he has tomorrow, and therefore he's written something, and I will read it on his behalf. And that will be tomorrow, beginning at 10 o'clock in the morning. I got a phone call yesterday. It was either yesterday or the day before. I have lost track of time. From my god brother Guru Garanga Prabhu, and when he got on the phone, first thing he said to me is, "Please tell me something about Nittai Chaitanya Goswami." And I said, "Why do you ask?" So he said, "Because to me, right now, he's just a name, but I know he's a lot more than that. So can you please him? Please make him a lot more than just a name for me by telling me a little bit something about him." And I spoke very briefly. I said a few things, but essentially what I told him is, to me, Nittai Chaitanya Goswami was like a huggable teddy bear. Because it's the kind of relationship I had with him. I was quite close with him, and he it had a specific, for whatever reason, I can't say, but I can actually just say that he loved me. And he always showed it in the most simple, loving way. He always considered he always called me Guru Maharaj. He's not my disciple, but for him, I was Guru Maharaj. He would always, whenever there was an event, even if it was 1,000 kilometers away, and he knew I was going to be there, he would be on the train to come and to take part in the event, even though he knew that I would be busy and maybe wouldn't even have much time for him except to take prasadam together. He was just happy for that opportunity. And he was very faithful. There's many things I will say tomorrow. This is not the day that I'm going to have the memorial, but so for those of you who did not know Nittai Chaitanya Goswami, for me, he was that kind of devotee that how could you not love him? So it was quite painful. And I've known him for, well, since my first visit to the former Soviet Union, which was 31 years ago. He was one of the pioneer preachers. He's made big sacrifices. He left his family to join Prabhupada's army. And he was very dedicated right from the very beginning. And I had one encounter with him in a city called Chisinau in Moldova. And I asked Achyuta Priya if he remembered the encounter. And Achyuta Priya's response is, of course, it was a classic. And it was in 1990. I believe it was 1990. It was my first visit to Chisinau. And he would had a different name at that time. I actually he might not even been initiated yet. He was initiated by he had initiated name of Yogi Priya. He was initiated by Harikesh Swami. During a class, he kind of provoked a challenge, respectfully, but it was definitely a challenge that he wanted to make it clear to me that book distribution was most important service. And for him, it was most important service. For many of the devotees at that time, it was the most important service. So I accepted his challenge, and I tried to help him to understand that actually, in Krishna's eyes, Prabhupada's eyes, all services are important. And although we may see book distribution as most important, and Prabhupada has given statements to that effect, we should be very careful to not minimize the service of others, because to them and to the person they're offering that service, it's obviously important. And he was, again, a little challenging. And but by the end of our conversation, he told me he completely accepted. And he would oftentimes remind me of that meeting. Many times he would remind me of that meeting. And he would turn to me and say, "Guru Maharaj, you defeated me. Thank you." He must have reminded me at least 15 times, maybe even more, thanking me for defeating him. He always affectionately accepted chastisement. And he would always make it clear that he took my chastisement as a sign of affection. And sannyasi, senior, older in age than I am, but that's how he was, and that's what our relationship was, and that's only just a small. I just thought I would answer Guru Gauranga's prayers, not prayers, question, for all of you, by giving you a little glimpse of Nittai Chaitanya Goswami, and kind of meaningful relationship that we had. There's a lot more that I'll say tomorrow, and it will be translated into Russian for the memorial service. But that's a little something I wanted to share with you today. I didn't even expect to speak that long, but if I didn't control myself, I'd probably go for another hour. So we're continuing in Brihad Bhagavatamrita on chapter 4. Last thing we spoke about, yes, last thing we spoke about was his beauty. It's how he displayed his youthful beauty, and how Gopakumara took note of that youthful beauty, and how it captivated him to the point that he lost control of his reverential mood, which he was instructed to keep in the presence of Lord Narayan, and completely forgot that he was instructed to be that way. And when he saw the Lord sitting on the throne, saw that youthful beauty, And he became so attracted to him that he began running towards him with his arms outstretched, calling out, "Gopal, Gopal, my life and soul." We spoke a little bit about that. That was verses 64, 65. Now the next verse is, I think there's about 10 of them. There are about 10 verses which describe his attractive features in various ways. Of course, what makes those features attractive to especially to those devotees who worship that form of the Lord, and they become captivated by these descriptions, just as we many times described from the description which is given in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how the four Kumaras became captivated by the beautiful features of the Lord that they saw at the gates of Vaikuntha. And there are those who worship Lord Narayan, and that is their worshipful form. One of the points that I was speaking about before, these different forms that the devotees worship, they achieve Sarupi Mukti, they achieve or attain a form similar to the form of that they are worshiping. And one thing that came to mind, and I probably should have mentioned, is that that's specifically for those also who worship Shalagam Srila, because in the Shalagam Srila, there are many different forms of the Shalagram Shilas, which are forms of Narayan, which they are worshipping. And when one worships the Shalagram Shila, generally it is done specifically the followers of Sri Sampradaya in the mood of awe and reverence. And there are many different forms that the Shalagram Shila takes, and they see their worshipful Lord in those forms, such as Varaha and Nishinga and Matsya, Kurma. We spoke about those different forms previously, how worshippers of those forms accept Sarupya, which whereby they achieve a form similar to the form of the Lord that they worship. And that, of course, includes the worship of the Shalagram Shilas. Gopa Kumara, naturally, for him, as we've repeatedly emphasized, it's Madan Gopal, and that is why he always kept the form of a cowherd boy, even in Vaikuntha. And for him, the achievement of Sarupya Mukti, although for him it was more than Sarupya Mukti, but he kept that form, which was similar to the form that he worshipped. Somebody asked a question, I believe it was on the website, does that mean that for those who are worshipping or meditating on Srimati Radharani, does that mean they will get a suitable form also by dint of their meditation on that form of Srimati Radharani and the worshiper in that way? And the simple answer to that question is yes. anyways, but for Madan Gopal and for Gopa Kumara, his particular a mood of Satya Ras, of intimate friendship with Madan Gopal. So we'll begin with text 66, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Saundarya Madhurya Mayanga Kantya Vibhushayantam. The brilliant effulgence of his sweet, attractive limbs defeated the splendor of new rain clouds. That effulgence lent further grace to his garlands, cosmetics, and garments already graced by jewelry made of gold bedecked with gems. Commentary. Every part of Lord Narayan's body was beautifully formed with youthful charm that enamored whoever saw him. On his head, neck, arms, chest, and ankles, he wore golden gem-bedecked jewelry, which enhanced the beauty of his Vaijayanti flower garland. His yellow dress and his sandalwood paste and other cosmetics. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Gnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Dinatasvai Shri Nirvishesha Shanyavari Pastichade Sitarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Harishivasiti Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama 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 Hari Hari. I'm not going to speak much on these verses. We're going to go try to go through these 10 verses with very short commentaries describing his features. Here it says that it's not here in this verse, but it is in one of these verses. Explains similar to a point which was described before, that the beautiful form of the Lord enhances the beauty of his ornaments. This point is also made in the Nectar of Devotion. It was described Krishna's dress, his ornaments, that which he wears, are beautified by his beautiful features. Whereas we normally think that ornaments enhance the beauty of a person who wears them. But in the case of Krishna, even in this form, in Lord Narayan, it's the although they are very beautiful and opulent ornaments that can be seen on his body, such as the gold ornaments on his arms and his complexion and his ankles, anklets, and these other descriptions that are given here. It's described that these are beautified by his beautiful body. Next verse. Kankanangara Vibhushanayata Stula Vritta Vilasat Chattu Pujam mandalam. His four shining arms, long and well built, enhanced the beauty of his bangles and armlets. Here it says they enhanced the beauty. Elsewhere it says his beauty enhanced them. I guess they complement each other. Two yellow silk garments dressed his body, and charming earrings set off his rounded cheeks. Commentary: Lord Narayan's arms appear like the shining bodies of celestial serpents. His dhoti and upper cloth are yellow like the rays of the sun. Text 68. Kaustubha Bharanapinabhaksham Kambukantajitta Maukikavalim. Excuse me, Maukikavalim. Sasmitamritamukendumadhuta Prekshanolasita Lochanambujam. On his broad chest was the Kastuba jewel, on his conch shell neck a string of pearls, and on his moon-like face a nectarian smile. His lotus eyes were alive with playful glances. Commentary: The moon is famous as the source of the heavenly Soma nectar, the rare sacrificial offering enjoyed by a few select demigods like Indra. Lord Narayan's face is another moon and also full of nectar. The charming gestures of his lotus eyes are beyond compare. Actually, Krishna's form, it's described that he has different messengers called Svayamduti. One of his messengers is his flute. When he sends out a message to call the gopis or called cows, calves. And another way he delivers his messages is through the corner of his eyes. Think it's in Sanskrit, it's called kataksha. It's a very powerful form of giving messages that Krishna oftentimes does. With his intimate devotees. Here it's described as playful glances. Usually in Krishna Lila, although I think it's also used in the Lord's pastimes in Vaikuntha, use sidelong glances. Sidelong glances. A sidelong glance usually means it comes from the corner of the eye. And the recipient of that sidelong glance spends their total meditation in receiving that sidelong glance because they know exactly what it means. So, of course, in Krishna Lila, Krishna Radharani and the gopis, that's a very, very fundamental way for communicating for them. Is through their sidelong glances. Here it's described his lotus eyes were alive with playful glances. Playful glances, and also I think one of these verses, yes, his dancing eyebrows. It's the next verse. His playful glance and his dancing eyebrows, which is his way of communicating a message to those who are fixed on his beautiful features. And it's described here as a very charming gesture of his lotus eyes. They're beyond compare. So another wonderful feature of Krishna's charming form and his charming pastimes, and definitely in the way he communicates with his devotees. And as we'll see, also his gesture, his glances, his dancing eyebrows, his features, and then later we'll see that his exchange with Gopakumar was such that when Gopakumar went to him, before him, and I believe it was Uddhava placed his head at the Lord's feet, and the Lord affectionately showed his affection to him by rubbing his head. That was his affectionate gesture. Of course, that rubbing of head is generally an affectionate gesture from somebody who's worshipped as a superior. In fact, there's a picture that somebody sent me of Nityananda Goswami and myself. And whenever we would embrace, he always put his head down. He never would keep it up, and he always put it down. And he would just wait for me to rub his head. And the embrace wasn't complete in his eyes, his mind. So it's generally a sign of affection. From a superior, and therefore it was a sign of affection the Lord did with Gopakumar, because Gopakumar of course wanted to see him in a different way, but because they were in Vaikuntha and everybody else who was around him at the time, there were a lot of personalities around him, even Uddhava at one point, at that particular point, when he looked around, and especially when Lord Narayan took the flute in his hands and started to lose it, Uddhava tried to bring him back to Vaikuntha consciousness, because he wanted to make sure that everyone who was right there watching his every move, watching his eyes, watching his expressions, watching his features, didn't in any way get an indication contrary to their moods. And that's how the Lord behaves before those who expect those particular gestures, moves, and glances to satisfy those who are present. And certainly Gopakumar would get everything he wanted, but in a different place. So, still in Vaikuntha, there's charming gestures from his eyes, playful glances, and as in the next verse, we will read Kripa Parodya Varachiri Nartanam. Svavangs Fama Parshve Stitayatma Yogyaya Nivedyamanam Ramayasa Vibhramam Paghiyatam Bhulam Adantam Uttamam. The great compassion he felt made his beautiful eyebrows dance. It's a sign of his compassion, his eyebrows dancing. And definitely his compassion will definitely be revealed in the conversation that he will, as he begins to speak to Gopakumar, waiting, how long, telling him how long he'd been waiting for him to come. So the great compassion he felt made his beautiful eyebrows dance. Rama, his ideally matching consort, standing by his left side, reverently offered him excellent pan to chew, which he accepted. Commentary. The goddess of fortune would personally prepare Lord Narayan's betel nut and offer to him with her own hand. Pleased with her service and the excellent quality of the pan, Lord Narayan would gracefully accept it with the tips of his right thumb and first finger, place it in his mouth, and chew it contentedly. The goddess of fortune, Sri Rama, is a suitable consort for Lord Narayan because she is the best of all women. She equals him in beauty and other good qualities. We should understand that the Lord's other consort, Bhumi, was also serving him from his right side. Yeah, there was a purport. I was going to read this purport. Prabhupada talks about the potencies of Lord Narayan, the Sri potency, which is Lakshmi Devi, Bhu potency, and Nila potency. There are three potencies which accompany him. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes that for the Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, these potencies serve him in Svakya, Ras, as wives. And these potencies, the Sri, Bhu, and Nila potencies, are always there to render services in Svakya, Ras, in the mood of their wives, just as Lakshmi Devi. She is the eternal consort and always renders that loving service to Lord Narayan in the mood of a wife by cooking for him, by massaging his feet, and rendering all kinds of service, which is here being described also that Rama is Lakshmi and she prepares a betel nut and offers it to him with her own hand. And the Lord takes it with his thumb and his finger. And he very contentedly chews on it, very contented way. Of course, we know betel nut is generally not to be it's to be offered to the Lord, but we are certainly not supposed to accept the remnants of betel nut. It's and but nonetheless, in spiritual world, it is known, especially in Krishna Leela, it's known as Tambula. And when the gopis, they're offering Tambula to Krishna, he's taking it. And it's, of course, it's described that it awakens one's desires. And for Krishna, there's no question of any kind of artificial awakening of lusty desires. For Krishna, the desires that he has towards his intimate devotees are Prabhupada always. In fact, I was just listening to a lecture just yesterday. Prabhupada was really hammering on this point we should never think that Krishna's expression of his desires to the gopis are like the ordinary affairs of any. He used the word boyfriend, girlfriend in this world. He said that they're completely spiritual completely transcendental. And he was emphasizing the point that if we anyway equate it to be like that, even for a moment, he says, if it awakens our own lusty desires, then it's very easy to become what he used the word sahaja. He said, this is sahaja. In another lecture, he even said, if you hear these things and you think it is like ordinary loving affairs between boyfriend and girlfriend to this world, Prabhupada said, in this particular lecture, I'm sure everybody knows, if Prabhupada said, stop it! Stop it immediately! That was his response. And now, to emphasize the point is, there's a certain element of purification required, or a certain element at least of proper understanding that should be somehow brought out by hearing through proper sources that these are not ordinary loving affairs. So yes, in the loving affairs between the gopis and Radha and Krishna, Krishna is offered this tambula, and as we see here, the betel nut is offered to Lord Narayan, and he very contentedly takes it and chews it, but again, it's not to be compared in any way to the kind of desires that awakens in those who take it in this world. And in fact, I think there's even a description somewhere. Maybe it's the Skanda Purana. I think it's the Skanda Purana. The description of how it's the plant is called Nagavali. And somebody has repeatedly interviewed Maharaj. let me just turn it off. Nagavali is actually another name for the betel nut. It's a plant, a vine. And it's described that it made its appearance in this world when there was the churning of the ocean, and between the demigods and the demons, and it manifested in a pot. And then this pot was taken to the gardens of Nandanandana, which was Indra, the heavenly planet. And the elephant of Indra, Airavata, I believe he kicked the pot. He kicked the pot somehow, and when the pot opened, the Nagavali plant came out, and that's how it made its appearance in this world. And then this is, again, it's a description of, I believe it's Skanda Purana. And then somehow through that entrance, it appeared and took its appearance in this world, and of course, its perverted uses everywhere. It's one place which is really, really popular in Taiwan. I go to Taiwan frequently, and they have these. Stop it! But they have these little places, the betel nut girls. And you know, the Taiwanese are really addicted to it. They come and they take it and chew it. They stop it. So it is simply perverted form, and in this world, but it has its origin in the spiritual world. So the goddess Rama is a suitable consort. She's the best of all women. She equals him in beauty and other good qualities. Oh yeah, I was going to read the commentary Srila Prabhupada gave about the potencies. Sri, Bhu, and Nila. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila. Just, we'll read this Just read it to elaborate a little bit, and then we can end after. This is Adi Leela, chapter 5, texts 26, 27, and 28. In the Vaikuntha planets of the spiritual sky, the Lord manifests his identity as Narayan and performs pastimes in various ways. Next text. Krishna's own form has only two hands, but in the form of Lord Narayan, he has four hands. Lord Narayan holds a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, and he is full of great opulence. The Shri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Are those songs coming from? I don't. Okay, something's. I'm hearing some sounds. I'll try to mute everybody. Did it work? It worked. The Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies serve at his lotus feet. Purport. Prabhupada's purport. In the Ramanuja and Madhava sects of Vaishnavism, there are extensive descriptions of the Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies. In Bengal, the Nila energy is sometimes called the Leela energy. These three energies are employed in the service of four-handed Narayan in Vaikuntha. Relating how three of the Alvars, namely Bhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi, and Bhranti Yogi, saw Narayan in person when they took shelter at the house of a Brahmin in the village of Gehali. The Prapanamrita of the Sri Sampradaya describes Narayan as follows. This is a description in one of the scriptures of the Sri Sampradaya of three Alvars and how they saw the form of Narayan revealed to them in the house of a Brahmin. They saw the lotus-eyed Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mounted on Garuda and holding Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, to his chest. He resembled a bluish rain cloud with flashing lightning, and in two of his four hands, he held a conch shell and disc. His arms stretched down to his knees, and all his beautiful limbs was smeared with sandalwood and decorated with glittering ornaments. For he wore yellow clothes, and by either side stood his energies, Bhumi and Nila. Continuation of the purport. There is the following reference to the Sri, Bhu, and Nila energies in the Sita Upanishad, Sanskrit, I won't read it. Mahalakshmi, the supreme energy of the Lord, is experienced in different ways. She is divided into material and spiritual potencies. And in both features, she acts as the willing energy, creative energy, and the internal energy. The willing energy is again divided into three, namely Sri, Bhu, and Nila. Quoting from the revealed scriptures in his commentary in the Bhagavad Gita, Madhavacharya has stated that mother material nature, which is conceived as the illusory energy, Durga, has three divisions, Sri, Bhu, and Nila. She is the illusory energy for those who are weak in spiritual strength because such energies are created energies of Lord Vishnu. Although each energy has no direct relationship with the unlimited, they are subordinate to the Lord because the Lord is the master of all energies. In his Bhagavad Sambhava, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu states, quote, "The Padma Purana refers to the eternally auspicious abode of Godhead, which is full in all opulences, including the energies Sri, Bhu, and Nila. The Mahasanghita, which discusses the transcendental name and form of Godhead, also mentions Durga as the potency of the supersoul in relationship with the living entities. The internal potency acts in relation with his personal affairs, and the material potency manifests three modes." I'm going to stop here. But here's one quote. Again, this is by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. "The opulent manifestation, the absolute truth, Lord Narayan, has three energies, Sri, Bhu, and Nila. Kamala, or Lakshmi, is his Sri Shakti. Devotional service to Lord Vishnu is his Bhu Shakti. And the basis or land on which Lord Narayan walks is Nila, or Lila Shakti, known as Durga Shakti, or the support of the universe. All three energies are present in Lord Narayan." I believe this is also in reference to the explanation that of the Lord Chaitanya's wives, is Vishnu Priya, Lakshmi Priya. Lakshmi Priya is described as Sri, or the Sri Shakti. And Vishnu Priya is the Bhu Shakti. And Navadweep is described as the Nila Shakti. And these are potencies who are always with the Lord and who are assisting him and rendering service to him. So I just wanted to read that commentary. I'm not going to elaborate on it any further, but it was in reference to this verse which described that Rama, who is the Sri Potency, goddess of fortune, was on one side, and on the other side was Bhumi, who was also the Nila Shakti, I believe. And she is also rendering service to the Lord in that way. Now, I'll read one more verse, because I want to get through these verses. Actually, I'll read just a couple more verses, because I want to start next time next at the point where Gopakumar starts running towards the Lord. Tadraga kanta dhara bimba kanti sambhena kunda maladanta punctio diti prakaso jvalahasara sam namokti bhangi hita bhakti chittam. The color of that pond made his bimba fruit lips even more attractive, and their luster reflected on his teeth, two rows of spotless kunda flowers. Illumined by the glow of those flowers, his playful smile shone splendidly. His amusing words and gestures stole away the hearts of his devotees. More examples of his gestures, very amusing, playful gestures. Commentary: the bimba is a bright red fruit whose brilliant color resembles that of the Supreme Lord's lips. The kunda flower is a small, pure white jasmine. Text 71. Kare patat graha brita daranya pitaksha bhangya muha archyamanam sudarshanadhya varamurti madhi shirasta chinnai parasevyamanam. The goddess Dharani, holding in her hand a vessel to catch the remnants of betel nut, constantly worshiped the Lord with messages and sidelong glances. And the Lord's excellent weapons, like Sudarshana, served him in beautiful personified forms Their identities marked by symbols on their heads. Commentary. Dharani, or Bhumi, is the second goddess of fortune, whose expansion is the presiding deity of the earth. While Rama served Lord Narayan, his pan, Dharani stood by to receive the remnants he would spit into a vessel meant for that purpose. Here's a lot more. There's a very detailed description. In fact, I'm not going to read it, but there's an interesting quote, because there's a very, very detailed description that Rupa Goswami gives in Lagu Bhagavatamrita of Vaikuntha, and then he gets into a very even more detailed description of the features of Lord Narayan and of his associates, and he's quoting from the Padma Purana. And after all these verses that he quotes Padma Purana, then he gives what he calls a karika. A karika is he gives his own commentary, but it's in the form of verses, his commentaries. And then in a few of these places, Baladevi Jibhushan gives his commentary to the Karikas. And in his commentary, he writes, "It is a matter of practical psychology that difficult to understand ideas can be impressed in the mind if one hears them repeatedly." I thought that was a very, very nice, helpful assistant when hearing all these different descriptions repeatedly about Vaikuntha, where he says it is a matter of practical psychology that difficult to understand ideas can be impressed on the mind if one hears them repeatedly. So I was going to read, but there's no time to read some of these descriptions from Lagu Bhagavatamrita. But there's a lot of detail in Lagu Bhagavatamrita. If you have it, it's in the fifth chapter. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, I believe, in text 264 to 290, something like that. There are a lot of very, very details of the features of the Lord of Vaikuntha, even more than Bhagavatam gives in the third canto of the Bhagavatam. So here we see also that not only does Lord Narayan have his playful glances, but then that Dharani, who's constantly worshiped the Lord with messages in sidelong glances. This is how she was communicating with her sidelong glances, messages to the Lord also. And if you really, I mean, it's really, if you think about it, the power of a sidelong glance. And there's that wonderful verse by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Kaivalya Narakayate Chidasa Puro Kashapushpayate. He's glorifying Lord Chaitanya. And he says, for anyone who's received the merciful sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya. You know, sometimes we may think, you know, just like, you know, it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a very nice description which is given about how Lord Chaitanya glanced at who was it that cooked the rice for the Lord? Oh, my God. Shuklamba. Shuklamba. Yes. When Lord Chaitanya personally requested Shuklambar to prepare rice for him. And Shukumbhar was completely overwhelmed, and he was asking all the devotees, because Shukumbhar was a beggar. And he began asking all the devotees, how is it possible to cook rice for the Lord? I'm a beggar. Why would he accept anything from me? And all the devotees told him, he says, okay, you can cook rice for him, make very wonderful rice, but don't touch it with your hands. And in this way, you won't have to be in anxiety about offering something to him from your hands. And so he took their suggestions, and they cooked this most wonderful, opulent rice and for the Lord. And it's described in Chaitanya Bhagavat that when he cooked that rice, and the goddess of fortune personally came into the kitchen and made the rice taste so amazing by her presence, that when Shukumbhar offered the rice, Lord Chaitanya had returned to Shukumbhar's house after finishing his noonday duties. He entered the house, and then he went and he sat down. And then he took the rice and began eating it. And then he said to Shukumbhar, and he looked at him straight, right in the eyes. He said, how have you made such opulent rice without touching it, Shukumbhar? And when he looked at his eyes, Shukumbhar, you know, of course, was captivated by his eyes. And then the Lord told him, he said, friends like you are the root from which I grow. And of course, Shukumbhar was completely overwhelmed by that glance. But Prabodhananda Saraswati describes in his prayer, but if someone gets a merciful sidelong glance of Lord Chaitanya, just a merciful sidelong glance, then kaivalya narakayate, then the conception of kaivalya, or liberation, for him it's like naraka, like hell. Tridasapura akashu pushpayate, that the heavenly planets, you know, become like completely insignificant to him. The venomous, I can't remember the Sanskrit, the venomous serpents of the Durdan Tendriya Kalasapa Patali Potkatatam Strayate. Yes. The venomous serpents of the senses become like serpents with broken fangs. They no longer have any poisonous effect. And specifically, just by that merciful sidelong glance of the Lord. And then the position of the demigods, they become like insignificant insects to him. And Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, the whole universe becomes completely joyful just by his merciful sidelong glance. So, you know, Prabhupada used to quote his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that by emphasizing that we should not be so concerned about seeing Krishna, but we should want to be seen by Krishna. Of course, we have to become qualified to see Krishna by our service. And if Krishna sees us by our service, then certainly, then Nayamatma Balahaninya Labhya, as described, Prabhupada would oftentimes quote in that verse that, you know, by the strength of Lord Balaram, if you want to get spiritual strength, Nayamatma Balahaninya Labhya, the Chattamasatma. I can't remember the Sanskrit. One should be very careful to avoid being wild and careless. One should approach the Lord by the right means, by that spiritual strength. And then the Lord will reveal himself directly to such a devotee. That's the essence of that verse. So we should want to get that, capture that glance of the Lord. So here, let's describe the nature of the glance of the Lord and also the nature of the sidelong glance which his associates communicate with him. And Dharani, yes, Dharani or Bhumi is the second goddess of fortune, whose expansion is the presiding deity of the earth. O Rama served Lord Narayan, his pawn Dharani stood by to receive the remnants he would spit into a vessel for that purpose. I guess she knew immediately how to respond by his glance. So one more verse, no commentary, and then we'll stop. Chamara vyajana padukadika Shri Parichada Ganalo Satkarai Sevakai Sva Sadrisha Abastitaya Avritam Parichadad Bir Adarat. Servants stood around him, worshipping him with great respect, their appearance like his, their hands beautified by the transcendental items they held for his service, like slippers and yak tail fans. We'll stop here. We'll begin next time on Monday with text 73, which gives a nice description of the leaders who were sitting around him at the time. So we can chant a little bit. And Hare Krishna. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Siddhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. So we will end here. And if you would like to unmute yourself, I guess you can now. And we'll end in a traditional way. And we'll resume on Monday at the usual time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I don't hear anybody. What happened? Did I mute everybody? Okay, now you can unmute yourselves.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Hare
Hare Rama, Rama
Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare
Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Hare Hare
Hare Hare Hare
Rama, Hare
Rama,
Hare
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 Krishna,
Hare
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 Rama, Rama,
Rama.
Hi.
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 Hi.